my fellow Americans. This July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Moda Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prizes. And one lucky winner is going to take home $1,000,000 SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Moto Casino today.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Friday. Preds next up. This Western Canada swing. Game three of this four-game road trip in Edmonton. Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. A little hockey night in Canada up there. I'll have pregame for you starting at 5 right here on 102.5 The Game. Then they'll close things out in Vancouver on Monday night before coming back home for just a one-game homestand. That'll be Thursday night against Barry Trotz and company, New York Islanders. But right now, we talk to Jim Matheson, who's been covering the Oilers. I don't believe this is his first year covering the Oilers.
He's
not
a rookie.
So. No, I don't even think it's his second year. He's with the Edmonton Journal. He's on the line with us. Jim, how you doing?
Very good. Yeah, it's a little more than 1 or 2 years. It's since 1979, so that's 40 years.
Wow.
You remember some guy named Gretzky, I guess.
Probably older than both you guys, right?
You may have us on that. By the way, the Oilers last night, a stinging loss at home to the Sharks when the Predators were taking care of business in Calgary. Edmonton lost to a San Jose team that certainly had their struggles this year. What happened last night?
Well, they've had trouble manufacturing emotion since the two wild games against the Calgary Flames.
Yeah.
And then they beat St. Louis in between those two games. They've had trouble manufacturing the same amount of emotion the last two games, losing to Arizona 3-0 and then 6-3 to San Jose. But these are the Oilers. This year, they've beaten a lot of teams that are in the playoffs handily. Beaten Washington, they've beaten Pittsburgh, they've beaten St. Louis, beating Colorado. They beat lots of good teams, but they've lost two games to Buffalo and they lost a game to Detroit this year. And those are certainly two of the worst teams in the league. So they're kind of one of those, you never know what you're going to get from the Oilers. So the whole Pacific Division is close. I don't know how good it is, but it's certainly good, close enough from fifth to first, which will make it very interesting in the trading deadline because I'm sure all five teams will be trying to trade for something.
Yeah, that's a good point. Jim, if you could, just paint the picture here for everybody listening in Nashville. You brought up their games that certainly got a lot of recognition. If you weren't paying attention, it was very clear Edmonton and Calgary do not like each other. The close proximity, that's a huge rivalry. It's a big deal up there. I know our own Chris Mason is from Red Deer, and I believe that's dead smack in the middle.
Dead smack in the middle, and I don't know when Chris was growing up if he was an Oiler fan or a Calgary Flames fan, but when you're living in Red Deer, you can be one or the other because it's about 180 miles between Edmonton and Calgary, and Red Deer is about 90 miles right in the middle. So, yeah, you can be one of the other.
Yeah, and so there's no love lost. They were fighting and throwing the gloves down, and it was wild and wacky to watch. But just kind of paint the picture. What is that rivalry like? Because clearly those two teams don't like each other.
It's not quite as vicious as it used to be back in the 80s when the Oilers were the best team in the league and Calgary might have been the second best team in the league. And they played in the same division and they played each other seemed like 20 times a year if you counted playoffs and regular season. So geographically, certainly they're, as you said, they're 190 miles apart. They're about the same size city, around 1 million people. The Oilers have won a lot more than Calgary has won. Calgary's won one Stanley Cup, Edmonton's won five. But, you know, the problem with geographic rivals, I guess it would be the same as Philadelphia and Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania. It helps if both teams are relevant. Often one team's really good and the other team's not, and the only rivalry is that you're in the same state or same province and geographic. In this case, both Edmonton and Calgary are within a couple of points of one another, so the games mean a lot more. So emotions are a little higher pitched. And, you know, last game, the Oilers not only beat them on the scoreboard, but there was lots of fights, too, including Mike Smith, the goalie, fighting Cam Talbot. I haven't seen one of those fights ever in the Battle of Alberta. So it's interesting. Unfortunately, the Oilers don't play Calgary again until April 4th, last game of the regular season. So that's 2 months from now. So we got a Oceans three games in about 10 days, and now they don't play again for 2 months. So unfortunate, but... I know one thing. In the States, NBC probably, NBC, the sports channel, and in Canada, Sportsnet want to see Edmonton play Calgary in the playoffs, because even if you're not fully in tune with Edmonton and Calgary because they don't play in the same division, or you happen to be in the East, it's must-view games when you've got certainly McDavid and Draisaitl on the Oilers, and he gets a lot of animosity between the two teams.
Jim Matheson on the line with us, covers the Oilers for Edmonton Journal. I think this is season three of Rogers Place, their new beautiful arena in downtown Edmonton. What has that new arena done for the organization and just that fan base? Is it right year three of Rogers Place?
Year four. And to be honest, I don't like it as much as the old barn. The other one was a hockey barn, whether it was called Rexall Place or Northlands Coliseum or whatever, it was a hockey rink. This is just a hockey rink and an entertainment facility, and it's awfully big. It's not as cozy as it could be. I mean, the Oilers are 13-9-4 at home, so they're not exactly blowing the doors off visiting teams. And the fan base is quite down this year. Even though the team is better than it was last year, there's been lots of games this year. I would say 90% of the games this year are not sold out, and they were sold out forever and ever. Well, if you might have the best player in the world in McDavid, and certainly one of the top 10 players in the NHL in Draisaitl, but when you keep missing the playoffs and the ticket prices are high, the fan just said, I'm not paying it. I'm not buying a season ticket anymore. I can go online if I want to see one game for the most part and buy a ticket. And the price of tickets here, you can go out and buy a 62-inch TV and plunk it in your living room and watch the game on TV for what it costs to go to one Oiler game. So, if you take, you know, a couple of kids and your wife, so you may as well. They got to win back those fans somehow, and by winning them back, they have to make the playoffs. And they've only made the playoffs once since they were in the Stanley Cup Final in 2006. So Buffalo and the Oilers are seeming to be mirror images of one another. You know, not very good regular season teams.
Yeah, that's interesting. And so you brought up everybody knows Connor McDavid and Draisaitl. I mean, those two guys are just offensive machines, but as a whole, as this team is constructed, as we sit here in February, and you've talked about them missing the playoffs more than getting in, right now they're in. What do you think of the way this team is constructed, and what do you think is going to be the objective or the game plan, as you mentioned early in the interview, going into the trade deadline, which is just around the corner?
Well, the team is flawed. They have, as you said, the first, you know, Draisaitl leads the league in scoring, and McDavid, who's second, and one guy's got 83 points and the other guy's got 80. So they have superstars, but they don't have enough good players forwards for them to play with. So unlike a lot of teams with lots of good support players and no superstars, the others are the other way. They need somebody for McDavid to play with who plays left wing, preferably somebody who skates fast like he does. And they've been looking for one all year. They've tried former, you know, Predator James Neal on left wing, and they had Draisaitl there to start the season, and had a checker, Josh Archibald's been there for a while. So he really doesn't have a left winger. They need that, and they need a third-line center. And we've mentioned Nick Bonino's name, but that was when Nashville wasn't winning too many games, and we thought that maybe, you know, there might be something there if the Oilers could construct a deal where Nashville paid some of his $4 million contract next year. But one thing about Ken Holland, he's been in the league for over 20 years as a general manager, and he knows if you usually improve your team, try to anyway at the trading deadline if you're in the picture, and he's in the picture, but I just don't know if he thinks his team is that good or that deep to go very far in the playoffs. So he's not willing to give up a whole lot. He just needs to, I think, nibble around the edges and improve the team to a degree. As David Poyle's probably thinking the same thing. You know, all general managers think the same way. If your team's sort of in the playoff picture, you owe it to the players to try and get something for them. But you don't want to swing for a home run if you don't think your team's going to go that deep in the playoffs. And I suspect that Nashville and Edmonton are probably in the same boat. They've done okay in the regular season, but how far are they going to go in the playoffs? They don't want to give up a whole lot in terms of rentals and stuff like that just to win a round. So we'll see.
Jim, based off of all of that, and you mentioned Ken Holland and then Dave Tippett, the head coach, do you feel like, though, that if given some time, that combination is going to be exactly what the Oilers need to develop the young talent that they have?
I think so. Their depth in the organization is on defense. They have lots of good young defensemen, and if they're looking to trade, they would be trading some of those young defensemen. They don't have very many forwards coming. But as long as you've got Holland, who won, you know, lots of three Stanley Cups in Detroit, and Dave Tippett has won a lot of games as a coach, I think they're in very good hands. I think the fan base here isn't so keen on winning a Stanley Cup. They just want to get into the playoffs, as they did 2 years ago in 2017, where they got to the Game 7 of the second round. And then since then, they've missed the playoffs. So I think they just want to get in the playoffs and see what happens. And Holland's the same way. He knows he doesn't have a team that's going to win the Stanley Cup now, but if he can get some players to play around, McDavid and Dreisaitl, so be it. That'd be great. You know, and that's why they traded for James Neal as a support player, you know, a top six player. And Neal's had one of those a very strange season. He's got 19 goals. He's only one shy of getting 20 for the 11th time, but he scored 9 of those 19 goals in 3 games. So he had a 4-goal game against the Islanders in October, and he had a hat trick against the Rangers on New Year's Eve, and a 2-goal game against LA in October. And like I said, half of his goals in 3 games, and he's got 19, but he hasn't scored a goal since he got the hat trick against the Rangers on New Year's Eve. So a very strange season for him.
And I know he's been hurt. Is he any closer to getting back?
Oh, he might be. He's missed the last 4 games. He's got a sore ankle, but he did skate yesterday morning, you know, morning skate for the San Jose game. So, I mean, I'm sure there's a possibility. They haven't had practice yet, so we'll see if he's on a line today or he's just, you know, an extra forward. But he's been really good on the power play with 12 power play goals, but only 7 even strength. So they need more even strength goals from James Neal. But like I said, 19 goals is still 19 goals. And last time I looked, there's only McDavid and Dreisaitl with more goals than Neal's 19. So he's been just fine.
Should be an interesting tilt tomorrow night, Jim. I really appreciate the visit. Enjoy the game.
Okay, will do. And I'm sure it'll be Nashville's playing good. And I'm interested to see if they go with Saros in goal again, after he's won the last 2, or they come back with a veteran.
And Pekka's had a lot of success against Edmonton, so it's something we've talked about.
He got beat last time, though. He got beat last time by Mike Smith, and that was one of the few times he's lost.
Yep.
So I guess we'll see. I know there's a better chance that they're stopping pucks than Mike Smith's fighting Pekka Rinne, so we'll see.
You're probably right about that. Thank you, Jim.
Okay, take care.
All right, Jim Matheson, Edmonton Journal, covers the Oilers. 6 o'clock puck drop tomorrow night up in Edmonton, and I'll have pregame for you at 5. Everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. We'll come back and close up shop for the second hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.
My fellow Americans, this July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Moda Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prize. And one lucky winner is going to take home $1,000,000 SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Moto Casino today.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.